Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Cowboys, Dolphins, pregame Sunday at 9 a.m., kickoff at noon right here on your home of America's team. Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan. And to preview the Dolphin game, the Cowboys are about 20-point favorites. On the line is Radio.com Sports NFL Insider, former Dolphins linebacker Channing Crowder from WQAM in Miami. And as always, Insider Calls brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Channing, good morning. How are you?
Good, man. How y'all doing? Appreciate y'all having me.
We're doing well. Thank you for joining us. Is it as bad and disastrous as it appears from the outside there?
Yeah, it is. We're not losing any sleep over it because you kind of saw the writing on the wall, how they approached the season, bringing in Fitzpatrick, you know, going to trade for Rosen, but really not adding any pieces, having $100 million in salary cap and not using it. And they're going to have 160-plus next offseason. The entire offseason, as we are a part of it, you saw the writing on the wall. You saw the approach to tanking. I like to call it banking on young players to step up. But, you know, either way, it is. Down here, we saw what was going on, and now the entire league's seeing it. After you lose by 51 points in the first 2 weeks in both games, you know, averaging, you just kind of – you saw what was going to happen, and then it happened, and now the world's seeing it. But we saw the writing on the wall this summer, fellas.
Are they going to give Brian Flores a fair shake?
They should, and that's why they signed the 5-year deal. They usually do the 4-year for first-time coaches, and most coaches, they did the 5-year to give him that security of, hey, we understand the situation we're throwing you in. We understand we're putting you in a boat with a hole in the bottom already, and you're bailing water for the first year or two. But sooner or later, we're going to fix this boat for you. We're going to get you on a yacht. We're going to let you captain this yacht. So I'm sure that Stephen Ross, who actually – you know, like you're saying, being down here, Stephen Ross, when they hired Flores, one of the first things he said after last season was he's tired of just running this hamster wheel of 6-10 to 10-6. The Dolphins have been between 6-10 and 10-6 for 10 years now. I've been retired 9 years. And they're still just doing exactly what they did. To be honest, when I was there, one playoff run in 08 with Parcells and Tony Sperano came in, and then Adam Gase gets here. They go 10-6 and make that one playoff when the Steelers beat the hell out of them in the wild card game. But it's been that roller coaster. It's been that hamster wheel of the same exact thing. Bringing a quarterback, he does okay. Bringing another guy, he does okay. No top-tier quarterback. Always drafted between 12 and 17. Just that range where you really can't get a big difference maker in the quarterback position. Drafted some good players. We actually end up getting rid of all of them in Tunsil and Minka. You know, anybody with value is on the market right now. But yeah, man, it's just it's a tough situation for Flores to be in. I kind of like the guy personally. The defensive schemes, which I was excited to see what he's worked with Belichick for 15 years. I was excited to see these defensive schemes, but he's a sushi chef in a steakhouse. You know, he can be the best sushi chef in the world. If you're working in a steakhouse, they're not asking to make any tuna tataki, so you don't really know what the hell you're doing. I think Flores might be in a situation where he's just the talent on the field. As you watch the Dolphins game, and y'all going to see it on Sunday, the talent on the field, there's guys' names you've ever heard of, and you're going to see under-talented guys. You're going to see a guy covering Amari Cooper and trying to tackle Zeke that might not have a chance to be on the field with another team. So, yeah, we saw it, and Brian Flores knows what he's doing. And subliminally, through all the press conferences, him and Chris Rios keep saying it, where, yeah, this is a bigger picture thing. This is winning for longevity and not winning for the now. And I think that was the plan with Stephen Ross, with Chris Rios, with Brian Flores. They're thinking big picture. They're thinking about these 4 first-round draft picks we got next year, 2 more in 2021. Like, I think that's their approach is, this is a tanking year. This is a year to see what you got out of young guys, and we'll be able to really add some talented players to this roster and for Brian Flores moving forward.
Former NFL linebacker from the Miami Dolphins, Channing Crowder, on the buyersafety.com hotline. Is there anyone to be worried about on the field if you're the Cowboys Sunday? And if so, who is it on Miami?
Defensively, don't throw in Xavier Howard, but nobody did it last year. Even Ravens game, when Hollywood Brown was going crazy, They put Xavier Howard on him after he beat up on Eric Rowe and Minka Fitzpatrick, and then Xavier shut him down. Last week against the Patriots, they had Xavier Howard on Josh Gordon, and he shut him down. Josh did nothing the whole game. But then that put Eric Rowe on Antonio Brown, who goes for the first three catches of the game, you know, four catches, 60 yards, a back shoulder, beautiful touchdown by Brady to Antonio Brown. So they try to move Xavier around and plug up the holes they have in the secondary. But if you see 25 on the right, throw it left. If you see 25 on the left, throw it right. And then offensively, Kenyon Drake's talented. It reports he's on the trading block. I don't know how much they use him. Kalen Ballage is, you know, a decent young back. It's just that there's no to answer your question, Xavier Howard is the only guy where I really think he can change the game. The other guys, Keem Grant gets the ball, you know, on the screen. He can make a couple guys miss, but no real game breakers right now. But to be honest, that was part of the plan, fellas. You keep a game breaker, you go out and have it. If there wasn't Antonio Brown in this team, he wouldn't want to be here because the quarterback doesn't have the protection enough to get those top receivers, those top, you know, weapons the ball. So it's you shouldn't fear a team scoring 5 points a game. I'll tell y'all that much.
Yeah, speaking of plan, what is their plan with Josh Rosen? Are they just kind of protecting him because the team's so bad?
Yes, the whole thing coming in, and this is the whole thing we're talking about. Why would you start Fitzpatrick if you want to evaluate Rosen? Let's evaluate Rosen. And they had a murder of Rosen first four games, four playoff teams from last year, starting with the Ravens, then going to the Patriots, now the Cowboys, and then the Chargers next week, before that week 5-5. The whole thought in my mind, and I was arguing all of the year, let the team figure out what they are, let Shadow say the OC, let him see what the line can really do. So, you know how you can roll out, you can, you know, do the quick game, the play action stuff to give a quarterback more time when you have an inferior O-line. Let's get the offense settled in. And let Fitzpatrick do some of that Fitz magic we all got used to. I was excited about Fitzpatrick because he was a gunslinger. That's all I remember playing Fitzpatrick. He's a gunslinger. He was on the Bills, terrible Jets team. He was on some bad teams, but he was letting the biscuit fly. He was going to let players make plays. He's not that this year. People ask him about it. Like, that's one of my biggest criticisms about him. What happened to the gunslinger mentality? So now that I see that he's playing conservative, I have jumped off of the bandwagon of waiting till bye week. I hope Rosen gets a lot of playing time in Dallas because watching Rosen walk in the game last week against the Patriots, he had the better drive out of the two, and they only had, you know, one decent drive, and it was with Rosen. So, yes, I was on the, you know, let the old dude do it, let the gunslinger go out there and play a little bit and work Rosen in, but I've actually come around the last 2 weeks where I let Rosen play. It's a team that's not going to, you know, shake up any big wins this season, so let's evaluate Rosen. Arizona gave up on him real fast. Let's give him a chance and see what we have because next year with all this draft equity that the Dolphins do have, let's see what Rosen can be. Even if he can be your backup to a Tua, a Fromm, a Herbert, a Love, whoever you have evaluated as the top, you know, your top prospect, a quarterback, see if he can be the backup or if he can play his way into not worrying about a quarterback, which I don't believe can happen, but I believe they need to put Rosen in. They wanted to save him and kind of get the offense settled first, in my belief, but I think it's time to put Rosen in. And, you know, like saying, throw the young, you know, just let the young puppy jump off the porch and go run with the big dog. You'll never know if he can play in the yard if you leave him on the porch the whole time.
Channing, did you ever play on a team that quit, and has this team quit already?
No, I was on that 07, 1-15 team, and we had a lot more talent. You know, George Porter was still on that team, Jason Taylor, older Zach Thomas. You know, we had some talent. Like Vernon Carey was still playing well. We had some talent on that team. The guys don't quit. You know, you can't quit. If you quit, you're really quitting on your career. The eye in the sky doesn't lie. Like, that year in 07, going into 08, the year we did go to the playoffs after Tony and Bill Parcells came in, they only kept 15 players from the 1-15 team. So those other guys are now on the market. And in every single snap you play, that's part of your resume as a player. So if guys approach it that way, they're actually hurting themselves and hurting their career. And every player knows, you fellas know, every single day a player wakes up, they're one day closer to their retirement. So as a part of giving up, you know, you can't do that because it was so on that film and you're gonna affect the other 31 teams that you do have a chance to go play for if the Dolphins don't retain you. But questioning a coaching staff and questioning a game plan, I believe that's already happened. Because watching the Ravens game, they stacked the box on Lamar Jackson, which was smart because Lamar is a great athlete. But after he roasted you for three touchdowns in the first quarter through the air, hey, guys, let's loosen up a little bit. Let's put some split safeties back there. you know, let's let him run the ball and see if we can get a turnover, make him go 12, 15 yards, you know, 15 play drives to score. Let's not let him hit us for 40, then hit us for 60, then hit us for 50. Like, I can see guys questioning the coaching game plan and questioning their game day preparation without the work, you know, like quitting, not playing hard, not trying to go out there and make plays. But being in a system that you don't believe in, hell, when Paul Pasqualoni was my defensive coordinator, about game three, game four, we all started looking around defensively saying, hey, this dude really doesn't know what he's doing. He can't answer. You know, like, Zach Thomas is asking this guy questions. You know, they're like, hey, so the back motion's out weak, and now they go to empty. What's our coverage? Let me get back to y'all. As a defensive coordinator, you can't give a rain check on an answer to an all-pro Hall of Fame linebacker. So there were times where I've even, you know, through my career that I knew the defense or defense I was on has questioned the coaches and questioned really their knowledge and their expertise of this side of the ball without not playing hard, not trying to win, not trying to do your job. Football, it's 11 one-on-one matchup. Your coach tells you to block me, my coach tells me not to get blocked. Your coach tells you to get open, my coach tells me to cover you. So you can win those battles, still go out there and play hard to win your one-on-one battle, even if you're not playing on a very good team or if your side of the ball is not great. Don't be the weakest link. Don't be the guy giving up the touchdown. Still put on your resume that you are a talented cover guy, a talented linebacker, defensive end, defensive tackle. But the questioning of coaches, I'll tell you, like I said, with Paul Pasqualoni, it was a time where we look around and say, hey, we're going to try our best to run this terrible defense.
Channing Crowder bringing it strong from WQAM, previewing the Cowboys and the Dolphins, one of our Radio.com insiders. You saw Lamar Jackson up close. Are you buying more into the start of Lamar Jackson or Dak Prescott, and are you buying into the Cowboys being for real?
The Cowboys are for real. I did question Dak. I'll start with Dak because we're in Dallas right now. I did question Dak early on. Early on in his career, he was living off that O-line, and one of the best offensive lines I've seen in a long time, maybe since the old Dallas line with them big boys back there with Emmitt and Troy in them, but this line they put together is amazing. Having Zeke in the backfield, I thought Dak was eating off of that. When you're loading the box, okay, hey, throw across to Dak. You know, throw a deep comeback. You know, those are hard throws. This season, and I would say the second half of last season, I started watching Dak drop in that pocket, passing situations, third down efficiency, saying, hey, Dak Prescott got something. Dak Prescott's doing something. So I came around on Dak last year. The running quarterback, the only guy I've seen really transition from a pure athlete to the guy that can really sit in the pocket and just throw the ball and figure that out through his NFL career was Michael Vick. And now watching Lamar Jackson, I didn't see the progression of Michael Vick through that first year. This year, I have to give credit to the Ravens. He came out, and not even the Dolphins game, because the game plan was so bad. They were cover zero, loading the box. It was guys, all you had to do is get a step on a guy, and it would be a touchdown. But last week, against Arizona Cardinals, some of these throws that Lamar Jackson was making were Aaron Rodgers-esque throws, dropping it over the linebacker in between safety, throwing it right in the window in cover three. Like, I went back and watched that Arizona game against the Ravens, and it was extremely impressive, even more impressive than Lamar's 6-touchdown performance against the Dolphins. So Lamar got into the league as an athlete, and we questioned him. Actually, Stephen Ross wanted to draft him. We wanted to draft him in Miami, and now you're seeing what he's developed into. It is frustrating that he went there, but I would say I came around on Dak Miller last year, and Lamar is very impressive right now. I need a couple more weeks on Lamar because the Dolphins aren't that good and Arizona's not that good. When Lamar goes against one of these top defensive minds, when they start getting on film, this new offense that they're running, they start getting this, you know, on film and letting these D coordinators break it down and see what he does well and what he doesn't and really see a good team play against them. I'm swinging on Lamar. I just need to see some better competition out of him because right now he's in the run for NFL MVP. I need a bit more of a sample size on Lamar in this new offense.
Channing, I'm a degenerate gambler. Would you take Miami plus the 21 points in Vegas against the Cowboys?
No, sir, because I took them plus 19 last week. and I lost. We call it one unit so we don't put our money out there. But, I was looking at it saying the Dolphins can't play this bad. After the Ravens game, I said the Dolphins can't play this bad. So now after the Ravens and Patriots, I'm not going to do it again and say the Dolphins can't play this bad. 102-10 right now is their their opponent scoring versus their scoring. Offensively, I don't know how they're going to get going, fellas. They had 38 yards with a half of the fourth quarter remaining. They generated 38 yards of offense in 3.5 quarters last week. I can't bet on them scoring. So with Zeke running that ball and this front not being that strong, I think Zeke's going to go crazy. He really got that money, but he really hadn't taken off. Dak's been balling in the passing game. I think Zeke has a big, big game. And you know what that does? That sets up the play action. With those receivers y'all have, if you get the one-on-one, like I said earlier, don't go at 25, but Eric Rowe, number 21. Wilt, who took Rashad Jones' position. We're waiting to see if Rashad Jones plays this week, but they have him at slot corner. He got destroyed a bunch of times last week. Antonio Brown, he caught that with the touchdown. He caught on Wilt. There are some mismatches when we get in one-on-one against the Dolphins, and I'm sure that Dak and how the Cowboys are playing right now, they'll take advantage of that. After Zeke gets the running going and gets them to jump in that box, it can be Jason Garrett's looking at this film right now. He's rubbing his hands, man. He's licking his chops to get a hold of this defense. And, I do the pregame on radio. I do the postgame on TV. Like, I'm all into the Dolphins, but I got to be honest. It's a team that you can pad your stats a little bit this week offensively, and to be honest, defensively.
Channing, great stuff as always. Love having you on again. Thank you so much, and then try to enjoy something about the rest of the season.
Oh, I get to go fishing on Saturday sometime.
Thank you, Channing.
Appreciate that.
How good is he? Channing Crowder, radio.com sports NFL insider. Insider calls are brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Channing Crowder from the Dolphins and the University of Florida.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.